What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 35 of the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, where each week we kind of go over the tech news, sort of what we checked out this week, and just kind of geek out and talk about tech. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me, as always this week, or almost every week, I guess I would say, I have Derek. What's going on, Derek?
You say that every week. I'm almost here. I missed one time, and now I'm only here sometimes.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So, how you doing, Bob?
I'm a little under the weather, which is not fun.
No, it's too soon for that.
Yeah,
like all of winter to be 60.
I know. I think the weather turned really cold, and I'm pretty sick. It's probably, like I told you earlier, it's the sickest I've been in a while, which is not good.
Yeah.
Consider we're doing a podcast and my throat feels like death. But
yeah,
we have to do the podcast, of course, and nobody wants to hear you just talk to yourself. So.
Yeah, for sure. Nobody wants to. Yeah.
So, definitely, yeah, not. But I think I'm over the worst of it. Like, yesterday was probably the worst, and it's a little bit better, so it's like one of those things that's just going to take a little bit of time, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, we will jump right into reviews this week. I took a look at three pretty cool products, and we'll start with, I would say, my favorite product out of the three that I took a look at. It is the Logitech G633 Artemis Spectrum gaming headset. So this comes from, of course, Logitech, who has probably a very, very deep, rich history in the gaming scene. This is their new headset. They have, this is the wired version. They also have a wireless version, which is the 933.
Right.
This offers 7.1 surround sound, Dolby surround sound, as well as DTS Headphone X.
Is it 7.1 individual drivers or?
No.
Okay, simulated 7.1.
Yeah, it's virtual.
Okay.
But it's a really great headset. One thing that's really cool about it, it does light up.
Yeah.
Which is cool, and it's all RGB lighting, so you can kind of control what it does. So for all those gamers out there, I'm sure you will definitely appreciate that. It has keys actually on the headset, so there's 3G keys that you can program to do pretty much anything that you want. So, you can set them to change programs, you can set them to change different things on the headset, you can set them to be commands in the game, you can do all of that kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. The sound on the headset itself is very good. I wouldn't say it's the best that I've heard, but it's pretty good. I really like the surround sound, 7.1 surround sound for gaming. This is definitely a gaming headset. It performs best, in games.
Yeah.
So you have that. In gaming, it definitely elevates your gaming experience. If you're going from just a typical analog headset to something like this, you'll definitely notice a difference. As far as comfort goes, it is pretty comfortable, but again, not the most comfortable I've used. The top headband, it kind of got annoying after about an hour of gaming. I don't know if it's just my head.
Yeah.
Or something like that, but just not the best there.
It's an interesting spot to become uncomfortable.
It happens usually
the top for me is pretty good.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, after about an hour. Usually with most headsets, they get uncomfortable if they're going to get uncomfortable, it's usually about an hour.
Okay.
But the ear cups are extremely comfortable. They use the same material on both the ear cups and the headband, which is like a foam, and then it has a breathable mesh.
Yeah.
On top of it, which is very comfortable on your ears, but on the top, it just wasn't for me.
Is it just not, you think it's not padded enough?
I think the padding is, like, too stiff.
Okay.
Maybe some
wear would actually help?
Yeah, so, that was pretty much the only issue. It has a really cool fold-down microphone, and one thing I like about the microphone is when you put it back up, it actually auto-mutes.
Oh, that's smart.
So you don't have to deal with that. It has dual inputs, so you can do USB input from your PC, or you can do an analog input, say like an MP3 player or cell phone or something like that, or you can have your cell phone connected at all times. And there's a switch on the headset, so if I'm playing a game, I can actually switch and take a call and not have to take the headset off, which is pretty cool.
Just carry it on with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's $149. Which is a little bit high on the higher end, but you expect that from Logitech with their products.
being a little uncomfortable and the sound not being top level, maybe a little too high.
Yeah, I would say it's a little too high. There's other competing headsets that I like. But again, a lot of those other competing headsets don't have all of the features that this has.
Gotcha.
A lot of the ones that I, you know, they don't have the 7.1 surround sound. They don't have the lighting. They don't have the, you know, keys on the actual headset to do some cool stuff, you know.
So there's a bit more functionality built into these.
This has dual input as well. You know, they try to put everything that you could in a headset. And I think they've done it, and they've done it pretty well. I don't, you know, these aren't a bad pair of bad headset at all. Nice. It's just, for me, the comfort wasn't as much as I would have liked.
Gotcha.
So,
but still, yeah, a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, 9 out of 10.
Good score.
There's a lot there. Yeah, definitely read the full review. I go into detail on a lot of the stuff and a lot of what you get. It's a very, very high-end headset. And again, if you're not in the wired crowd, they also have a wireless version, which is $933, which is $199.
Okay.
So, yeah.
See, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
$50 for wireless.
Yes. But I do like it. I would definitely recommend it. I would definitely say try it. If you can, if you have the ability. I know a lot of places will do a 30-day refund or something like that. Get the headset, see if you like it. If you do like it, if it's comfortable for you, then definitely, I would definitely get it, because it does have a lot of functionality, a lot more than a lot of other headsets, which I do like.
Nice.
So, we move on from there to a CPU cooler. I took a look at the Noctua NHC14S, which is the revised version of the original NHC14, which is a C-type cooler or a top-down cooler. Not your typical cooler. Most of the time we see tower-based coolers, but this one's a little bit different. The main thing that Noctua wanted to do with this was to have room for memory, also make it a little bit sort of low profile, and then make room for PCI Express slots either, and they kind of did all of that, and it's extremely high performance.
Really?
This performed better than the NHD15S, which we reviewed a little while ago. This is an awesome cooler.
Yeah.
It's a big cooler, but at the same time, extremely easy to install. So Noctua has always done this. They've made their coolers very easy to install, even the big ones.
Yeah.
I really like that. You don't even have to take the fan off or anything to get this installed. You could do it all, you know, takes 5 minutes or less.
Nice. Really, so easy. Is this basically like their full tower cooler just laid on its side?
Sort of. A little bit different, but yeah. Basically like
For that kind of performance, it's got to be very similar.
Yeah, it's very similar. Really great performance. It was in the top three, you know, of the coolers that we tested lately. It's just a really good cooler. It is expensive, though. It's in the $80 range. But you're getting awesome performance, easy installation. Quiet, too.
These typically don't perform that great, this style.
And the thing that you have to keep in mind about this, too, is that the fan actually blows down. It's not blowing out. It's blowing down.
Right.
So the fan's blowing down, which means it's cooling the components around the CPU socket as well. So your power delivery, your memory, things like that, it's going to keep those cooler, too. I would say this is one of the better coolers. We're one of the best coolers that I've reviewed lately. I gave it a 10 out of 10. I couldn't find a single thing wrong with it. Performance is good. Easy installation. You know,
and the base on it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's quiet.
It's a perfect finish.
Yeah, perfect finish. It's quiet. They give you extra fan clips if you want to add a second fan. You can do you can install the included fan, you can install on the top, or you can install it on the bottom. So if you install it on the top, that's high clearance mode, which means you can fit extremely large memory modules under it. Yes. If you install it on the bottom, that's low profile mode, and the cooler will actually fit in smaller systems, smaller form factor systems. So you have that ability.
Do you think you could fit this into, like, a mini ATX?
Mini ITX? Yes, you could. It would be close, you know.
Height-wise, it'd be close?
Yeah, I think with the fan on the bottom, I think it's 115 millimeters total height.
Okay.
So most tower coolers are 140, 160.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with the fan on the bottom, it's 115, which isn't bad at all.
It should fit in most cases, most small form factor cases.
Yeah. So you have all of that. It's just, like I said, Noctua, as I mentioned in the review, they just never seem to have a bad product, which says a lot about the company, you know. Mm-hmm. All of these coolers that we've tested lately are all really good. They're all really easy to install, and they all perform well. You know, and that's the biggest thing with the CPU cooler. My biggest thing is when I'm reviewing a CPU cooler, biggest thing, does it perform well? Secondly, is it easy to install? You know, a lot of you guys are only going to be doing this once, but you don't want that one time to be the biggest pain in the ass in the world.
Yeah. You know, if it's too difficult to install, you can often screw it up.
Yeah, that too. And then three, you know, if it's loud or something like that, which this doesn't, and this comes with a low noise adapter. If you don't want it to be as high performance, you can kind of tone that down too. So, yeah, the only thing, again, it is around $89, which is a little high.
Yeah.
But,
that's just kind of the standard they've set, though.
Yeah, it's a standard they've set. You know, if you're looking for pretty much one of the highest performing air coolers out there, this is it. So
nice. So, yeah. That's awesome.
And then finally, this week, I took a look at a pretty cool mobile product. It is the Skosh GoBat 6000, which is a portable charger, but it's a little different than your typical portable charger, as instead of, you know, most of these portable chargers that I have, you need a power brick, say, from your mobile device or your tablet, or just, you know, you can connect it via USB to charge, you know, to your PC or something like this. This includes a wall mount, or, you know, a...
plug?
Yeah, wall plug. So anywhere there's a wall plug, you can have this charged.
Nice.
Which is nice. You don't have to worry about finding a USB cable and then finding, you know, a power brick or something like that.
Yeah, having a device.
Yeah, so this just plugs right in and you're good to go. Besides being just a mobile charger, when you plug it in, you can also have your devices plugged into it, so it's pass-through charging. So, you know, you can have it plugged in, you can be charging your devices, then you can take everything with you, and then it can be a mobile charger as well.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And see, it has two different charging speeds.
Yeah, so you have 2.1 amp and 1 amp. So the 1 amp would be, you know, it's typically for your mobile device, your phone. And then the 2.1 can be for a tablet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's 6,000 milliwatt amp hours. So that's about 3 times charge on any, you know, pretty much most of the more popular phones. That's 3 times, right. So you can charge your phone, you know, 3 times over, which is nice.
Did you find that you were actually able to do that with it?
Yes.
Cool.
It works really well. It has LEDs that let you know how charged it is. Yeah, I really like it because it's just like you can have it set up, you know, before you go to bed. You plug it in, you plug your devices into it, so they're fully charged for the day. Mm-hmm. And then you can take it all with you.
And, yeah, just grab everything.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. You know, and it's one of those things you can kind of forget about because a lot of times I'll be like, oh, I have to plug in my charger. I have to plug in my devices, you know, if I'm going out. I know I'm going to be out all day. I'll be like, I need to plug in I got to make sure I plug in the charger. And then I got to find a USB cable for my for the charger. I got to find a USB cable for my phone, I gotta find another USB cable for my tablet, you know, you kind of eliminate one of those, and it's just plugged in, and I like it. Sweet. And it's small enough it can fit in your pocket, too. So.
Good. Just a smart device.
Yeah, really cool. I think it's like $50 or $40, but maybe, actually, I think it's $30.
$36.
Yeah, $36, can't go wrong with that price.
No.
Yeah, for everybody who, you know, they're always at the end of their battery at the end of the day, something you might want to pick up, you can... It works easily. No, you know, no real issues with it.
Warranty?
Did I put that in the review? I'm not sure.
Not sure.
I believe it at least has a 3-year warranty, I'm guessing.
Sweet.
So yeah.
At that price, that warranty, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. So like I said, it's a cool little mobile device. These are extremely popular, you know, these days because everybody's doing everything on their mobile device, and by the end of the day, your mobile device is dead. So yeah. I pretty much, and then what's crazy is this is like a market that just kind of created itself. Sort of like, you know, when the iPhone first came out, like the iPhone case market was like a big thing. And now these like mobile chargers are just a market. Like everybody that I know has one of these, which is crazy to think about because like being a tech person, you don't expect a lot of people to have like something like
this. Non-tech people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And almost all of my friends have one of these.
Because everybody's got to keep their stuff going.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, this is a great one. It's one of the better ones that I've seen, and the fact that it has pass-through charging, dual outputs, you know, dual charging ports, and all of that makes it work really great. So I like it.
Nice.
So yeah, three awesome reviews this week. Three really great products, which is always good to see. So, well, yeah, move on from that and go to Case Mod Friday. And this is one of my favorite builds that I've seen in a long time.
they're all your favorites.
But yeah, if you guys are new to the podcast or just listening, Case Mod Friday is a section on the site where we feature a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. Just to give you guys kind of, you know, to show you what you can do with PC products, what, you know, just to show off some of the, I guess you could call it artwork of some of these guys doing these builds. It's just amazing. Definitely we feature a new, you know, a new build each Friday, so you can go back and check out them all. This week we have, the project is the Hexgear R40 Engineering Station, and it's actually built by one of the founders of Hexgear, which is a company that I guess started last year, I think. And their flagship product was this case, which is the R40. Yep. And they've done some really cool stuff with this. The biggest thing that you can see is they made a custom reservoir in the back that goes around the entire back, which is cool. Something we've seen a lot lately. That's kind of like a new trend, I think.
Custom reservoirs?
Yeah, that like are part of the case or, you know, or something
like
that.
Yeah, built into it.
Yeah. That's really cool. He also, one of the coolest things that I've seen is that he built this really cool acrylic piece that goes on the back side of the motherboard tray that routes all of the custom cabling, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's, what do they call it? Well, essentially you drill a hole for each wire that's going to pass through it for your power supply, and then when you put them through, it perfectly aligns everything so that you have perfect looking cables.
Yeah, that's something I don't think I've ever seen before.
You've never seen that? It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's incredibly time consuming.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive.
The colors on this are awesome.
Yeah.
They it's match like a, perfectly.
Like maroon and gray.
Yeah, it is. It's just such a good build.
I love the tubing and the top next to the radiator.
Yeah. I mean, everything is just so nicely done on this. The whole story behind this build was this guy who's part of Hexgear, he's part of one of the founders, he does all the 3D modeling for the company. He wanted an engine, you know, something that he could do 3D modeling on.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I wanted to build it in our case, obviously, and then, you know, it kind of came out and he did all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All of the cabling I just think is awesome.
The little custom plastic pieces at the end of the graphics card, the PCX Express extensions, is just sick. It like curves it perfectly in. Like that's one of the messiest looking spots I think for cabling.
Yeah.
And that just like makes these perfect little U's into the connectors.
Yeah, and that's all custom made. You know.
It's like I've done sleeving, right? And it's terrible. Some people love it, but it's so time consuming. And I don't know, if you're not into that, it'll drive you nuts. But to do it with these the drilled out holes is just like even like more insane. It's like,
it's like
quadruples perfect. The time it takes. Yeah.
Like just the cabling in this build is literally perfect.
Yeah.
Like
that's like considered like one of the most elite ways to do your cabling is with the pinout, the little holes.
That's just—it's just awesome. Obviously, custom water cooling loop and all that kind of stuff. Using looks like Bits Power fittings and EK parts.
Yeah, rigid.
Rigid tubing. It's just a good build, and the color matching is perfect. The case is awesome. The case by itself is an awesome case.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, just everything that's on this is just perfect.
The one thing that's a little confusing to me is that they put the custom one, they put it on the back of the case.
Yeah, I think that because they wanted, if you look at the shot of the front, they wanted it to be kind of like that, you know?
Still want to see the
next gear. Yeah, so I think that's the reason that they did that. But still, I mean, that is just a cool, it's just something cool. And I'm sure he has it sitting on his desk over at Hexgear, and it just looks awesome.
Yeah, I hope he's playing some sick games on it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, he's doing 3D modeling, obviously.
Oh, right.
You know, for the company and for work, but I'm sure he's playing some sick games as well. Just a great build. You can definitely check it out. We have all of the pictures on there, and we link to the build logs as well, so you can see the progress and everything like that. We included a video as well. Just a great build. And again, each week we feature one of these, so you can go back and check out all of them. But I would say this has to be one of my top five that we featured.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty perfectly done build.
Yes. It's awesome. So definitely check that out, and we'll get on to news. And there's a lot of news this week. I wouldn't say a lot of news, but there's a lot of cool news, a lot of, you know, really, really awesome news. So we'll start out with graphics cards, and there's a lot of graphics card news this week. The first thing on the NVIDIA side of things is, we have all of the details now on ASUS's Republic of Gamers Matrix GTX 980 Ti Platinum, which is a mouthful. that is their highest clocked and highest performance GTX 980 Ti. They showed it off last month with the rest of their new ROG gear, but we didn't know anything about it. Nobody really did. It was just kind of in a case, and they just showed it. So this is their highest clock card. It has two different modes. It has a gaming mode, which the card operates at 1291 megahertz, and then there's an OC mode, which brings it up to 1317 megahertz. So again, the fastest GTX 980 Ti from ASUS.
Yeah.
You know, that means it's a much, much faster than reference. The card itself looks awesome. ASUS, with their new Republic of Gamers gear, have gone with a very dark orange and black. Mm-hmm. So they're getting away from the red.
Yeah, I really like
this. For a couple reasons.
Thing.
One, everybody copied it. Two, their Strix line is staying the red, I believe. And the ROG is gonna be this, you know, this darker orange, which I like.
A little product differentiation.
Yeah. Fully custom PCB.
Oh, yeah.
So much stuff on it.
It's enormous.
Yeah, 14-phase, DigiPlus VRM design, all different types of high-quality components in there. Definitely check out our post, because I go into detail on everything. You know,
it's built for LN2 as well.
It's built for LN2. There's a lot of cool LN2 features on it. It uses the DirectCU2 cooler with the new wing blade fans that are made to give you 105% more air pressure. Through ASUS's testing, the cooling solution is 30% cooler and 3 times quieter than the reference design, which is awesome.
Yeah.
There is an LED on the side. This is Republic of Gamers, and the LED will change colors based on the load of the actual card, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so this card should be coming out next month in November, around at least $699, but probably higher than that.
Yeah.
It is their highest clock card. It's also made with ASUS's new building technology, which is all machine built. So, you know, in the past, graphics cards, the PCBs and things like that are built, you know,
soldered by hand.
Well, some parts are soldered by hand, but this is fully 100% machine made, which is pretty
awesome. Yeah, in the past, they were soldered by hand.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is just a great card. I would like a few of these.
Yeah, a few would be nice.
Yes.
One would be nice.
Also, talking about graphics cards, we have a bunch of AMD news this week. So first, came out earlier this week, is that AMD's next generation GPU, their next flagship GPU, will have 2 times the performance per watt over the Fury X, which is pretty impressive.
So long as it actually scales.
Yeah, as long as it scales and does everything like that. We don't know that much. We do know it's going to be the Greenland, which is that's going to be their high-performance GPU in the next gen. It is going to feature HBM2, and it's going to have over 1 terabyte a second of memory bandwidth, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty wide.
You know, so, I mean, that is going to mean you're going to be able to play, if this is true, you're going to pretty much be able to play any game that's out there right now, 60 frames a second at 4K, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So this is all in 2016. We will definitely see it. You know, and this is a big jump. This is something that's, you know, all of the graphics cards coming out are going to be on 16 nanometer or 14 nanometer, which is pretty awesome. So we've been stuck on 28 nanometer forever.
Yeah.
On both sides.
little trouble getting the process to shrink.
Yeah, so this is going to be the big jump. This is where you're going to see a lot of performance. And as we move to the next story here, which is the AMD's next-gen Ellesmere and Baffin GPUs have been taped out, which means we'll see a whole new line of... We won't see as much rebrands.
Yeah.
Because all of the new GPUs are going to be based on 14 nanometer, supposedly. So that's what our next story is about. So we had Greenland. Greenland, which is going to be the high-end GPU, and then Ellesmere, which is going to be, you know, mainstream or, you know, mid-range, and then Baffin, which is going to be, you know, kind of entry-level. So all these last two have been taped out, and what a tape-out means is that AMD has gone to the foundry and... They finalized the design and they've made a design for the GPU and it's been created. We saw this earlier with NVIDIA taping out their new GPU, their Pascal GPU. So this just means that things are, you know, starting.
Basically, they made their R&D samples.
Yes. So everything is kind of there. But this also shows that, as I was talking about, is that. Hopefully, we should see all new GPUs as far as we're not going to be rebrands.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Please no rebrands, AMD. Please no rebrands.
It's not helping you.
Yeah. So if you can remember, AMD did this when we first went to 28 nanometer. They had the 79 series, 78 series, and 77 series. So we should see, hopefully, with Arctic Islands, we should see top to bottom all new GPUs based on 16 nanometer, which would be awesome.
For sure.
I would love that.
Leave the old stuff in the past. Let's move on.
I'm so sick and tired on the AMD side of getting one new GPU.
Yeah.
And everything else be rebrands.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
So hopefully this is when we'll see that.
It's a terrible marketing strategy too.
Yeah. I just think that we're gonna see a big jump in graphics here on both sides, AMD and NVIDIA. We'll see definitely a big jump.
Really good with VR coming in.
Yeah, with VR and everything like that. So if AMD does this, I mean, we could at least see them do a little bit better than what they're doing now, which is pretty bad.
Can't do much worse.
Yeah, can't do much worse. So. Yeah, this is all stuff that's going to be coming out in 2016, but it's exciting to see that hopefully we'll see a whole lineup of 16 nanometer processors, or GPUs, from AMD, and we'll have a whole line of graphics card based on those three. We're not just going to see three cards. We'll see, you know, two or three Greenland GPUs. We'll see the flagship, and then a little bit cut down, you know, just like we typically do. So hopefully we'll see all of that come from them. Also, AMD made news this week is that they could possibly be making a custom SoC for Apple's 2017 iMac. This is just a rumor right now. This would do a lot for AMD's business for sure.
And they need this.
This
could like keep them afloat almost.
Yeah. So right now the iMacs are powered by Intel. Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So around this time frame, this is when AMD Zen architecture will be out. Actually, this will be Zen 2.0, more or less, or Zen Plus. So I guess AMD is counting on Zen to really bring them back in the desktop market or the custom, you know, semi-custom design market. Mm-hmm. This is a possibility because, you know, Apple already uses AMD products in their Mac Pros. They use their graphics cards already.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't something that's so far out, but at the same time, this SoC design has to be semi, at least comparable to Intel at the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the iMacs and things like that, they're used for design and they're used for things like that. And you need something that's going to perform. And
it's gotta be top performance.
If Apple starts putting in AMD stuff and it's not performing, you know, that could be bad for both Apple and AMD.
Yeah.
That
would hurt them both pretty badly.
Yeah. So, but it would, this would do a lot for their business. Again, this is just a rumor. You know, Zen's not even out yet. So we don't know what AMD is working on with that. Be interesting to see. It would be definitely be a big win for them, for sure. So,
yeah, kind of like getting the PS4 and the Xbox One contract.
Yeah, so that it's the same type of thing. So that that really helped their business a lot when those consoles came out and everything like that, and still helps their business now.
Yeah.
So you know, if they score this contract, that would be really big for them.
Definitely would.
Yes. Yeah, so we took, or we didn't take a look. I wish we took a look. So,
moving on from Chris,
yes, we are moving over to cases, and Silverstone is coming out with a affordable Raven case, which I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I was looking at it at first, and I'm like, this doesn't look great, and then I realized it was an affordable one.
Yeah, so Silverstone's Raven case has been, you know, sort of like their flagship case over the past few years. Very cool. Very cool design. Usually more high-end.
And now they're not cheap and they're unique.
I think they want to bring it to the masses, I guess, or something, in a cheaper version. So it is the RVX01. And it is going to be around $80.
Yeah, it's. I'd say if anything, it's just following the theme of the rest of the market.
Yeah, it. It's mostly made of plastic and steel.
It looks like it.
It's not aluminum like the other ones. It does have that same design where the motherboard is mounted to the top of the the case, which
reverse ATX. So the cards hang straight down, which they had this whole theory when they first came out with the Raven that it was superior cooling because it put the hotter components towards the top of the case. But that was fully independently tested and proven to be wrong, but it's still a cool-looking way to mount stuff.
Yeah, and then they do, the case does come with three fans at the bottom pushing that air up and out, which is pretty cool. Not much else really to say about this case. From what it's, like, internally, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, there's nothing going on here.
Yeah, I got excited when I saw this, and then I looked at it, and I was like, but again, it's an $80 case. It's going to, you know.
Yeah, it's going to give you about $80 worth of case. That's what.
Yeah, so we'll see when it comes out. I'm going to try to get one of these to review and see what it's about.
So with all these companies, like, they're building more, like, they've always made affordable cases, right? But it seems like they're adapting their higher end designs into their affordable cases.
I don't like it.
Yeah, do you think it's reflective of like the market? Are people just not buying high end cases anymore because like, they don't care? Or
I mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, when it comes to building a system, the case is not necessarily the first thing they're spending money on. Obviously,
I think it's usually last.
Yeah, it's the last thing, and like, you know, they know that if there's a case that looks like the Raven that's that looks like the $200 Raven case that's $80, people are going to buy it.
Yeah, because a lot of times if it's a first-time builder, doesn't care.
Yeah.
Because they don't know any better. They don't know what they're missing, really.
Yeah.
But I will say this, if you're building your first rig, buying a more expensive case is going to make things so much easier on you.
And your case is going to last longer.
Yes.
Cases break, especially the ones that are made of really cheap metal and really cheap plastic. They do break a lot. I mean, we'll see. Like I said, I'm going to try to get one of those to review and see what it's about. We have seen a lot of values lately too, cases that come out that, you know, I've reviewed cases that are $60 that are awesome.
Yeah,
you know, you never know.
It seems like it depends on where they spend the time designing and cutting costs.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. So we'll have to see. It could be a great thing for Silverstone. You don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
they just need a case to that they sell massive amounts of. That could be it. I mean, obviously they want to sell massive amounts, but when you're building a more boutique case, you're just not going to.
Yeah. So,
anyways,
that should be coming out in November.
Cool.
So I'm gonna try, like I said, I'm gonna try to get one of those to review so I can tell you all about it. Moving over to the more consumer end side of things, Lenovo launched a 27-inch all-in-one PC, which is their Yoga Home 900. They've had these for a while, not under the Yoga name. I forget what the other ones were called. We saw them at CES. Okay. These are really cool. These are basically, it's an all-in-one, but it's basically like a massive tablet, 27-inch.
Yeah, these are great. Is that why he's holding it like that?
Yeah, these
are. Give you that impression.
These are great for a home PC or family PC.
Yeah.
One of the best implementations I've seen. Not only is it a full PC, so you can have keyboard and mouse, but a 10-finger touch on it. This new one is powered by Skylake, obviously. It's cool because Lenovo has their own software built in that you can lay this flat, and the stand actually allows you to lay it flat, and you can really? Do things like play air hockey and do different things and do like photo sharing and video sharing, sort of like Microsoft Surface like type stuff. They've had this is like the third or fourth generation of this type of product that they've had. And what's one thing that's also cool about this is that it does have a built-in battery. Only 3 hours, but that still means that, you know, like the kids can take this in the room and play with it for a little bit, you know, and you don't have to worry about
plugging it. Yeah, you can just move it and get them out of the way.
Yeah, so I really like that. These have sold really well in the past for Lenovo. Yeah.
How heavy is it, does it say?
16 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is, you know, their product that they've had for a while, and this one, it's not Skylake, it's Broadwell, I'm sorry. Yeah. Core i5, Core i7, dedicated NVIDIA graphics up to 2 gigabytes, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte SSD storage. As I said, 3 hours of use, and it will start at $1,549.
That's not a terrible price.
Yeah, and like I said, a 27-inch 10-point touch screen, you know.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to see these, like built into a wall.
Yeah. But you kind of eliminate the ability to do cool things with it as far as, like I said, the stand allows you to kind of just push it down.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can play games and things like that. And they actually have accessories made for it. Like, they have, like, little air hockey things that are actually made for this. Very cool.
Yeah.
So they announced this, and then MSI announced a gaming 27-inch all-in-one desktop. I think this
one's pretty cool, actually.
So MSI announced their gaming 27 AIO desktop, and this one, same type of design, all-in-one, obviously. 27-inch full HD display. This one is Skylake. It is Core i7 6700 quad-core processor. Supports up to 64 gigabytes of DDR4. NVIDIA GeForce GTX 980M graphics with up to 8 gigabytes of GDDR5. It has killer E24 Ethernet and killer AC1530 wireless. So it's killer DoubleShot Pro, which means it will combine both to get the best performance. They actually showed an inside shot of this, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it actually really is.
I'm
not usually impressed by these types of devices. I'm more of a tower guy, but this one is like it's actually really cool. It's like a very high performance laptop laid out into the back of the monitor.
Yeah, so this is really cool. If you know want to try to if you want like something like this, like an all in one, or you're trying to get your family to buy a family PC and they're like, oh, I want an all in one, and you want to play games, this is the one you kind of want to try to get them to get.
Push them this way.
Yes,
This will actually game for you.
Yeah,
like. At decent levels too. What's the display? Is it
27 inch full HD, which is 1080p.
Oh, 1080p. Okay.
Yeah.
Not that impressive, but
I mean,
it'll game really well on it. That one will get good frame rates.
Yeah. Dual PCI Express 3.0 X4 SSDs using NVMe, which is awesome too.
Yeah.
So all your games are going to load extremely fast on this. Just a lot of cool stuff on this. This is one of the cooler ones that I've seen. MSI has really done a good job with these over the years. And I don't have a price on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to guess. What do you think? 2 to 3?
Yeah, 2 to 3.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's it pretty much all of the high-performance mobile products are all stuffed into this thing, which is awesome.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it's like a super high-performance laptop slapped onto the back of a 27-inch monitor.
Yeah. So I definitely like that. And MSI has always done a great job with these. So, wonder how cool it would be though if you're playing.
Oh, temperature wise.
Yeah, that's the only thing because there's only one fan in there cooling off the entire thing.
I mean, that's just like their laptops.
Yeah.
Which they just run hot. You just know they're going to.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. how hot it would actually run.
I'm going to actually guess slightly cooler than their laptops because it's spread out a little more.
Yeah, I think it's spread out more, so.
But other than that, it's basically laptop heat pipes to a single turbine fan.
Yes. So.
Hot, but it shouldn't. I don't think it would, get so hot that it's going to start causing you artifacting or
other
issues.
No, I don't think
it
will. I don't think they would release it if it did.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it would just be interesting to see how hot it would actually get, when you're, an hour into playing, Crisis 4
or something. I should send you one so you can find out.
Exactly. the one big news thing this week, which I think it's a huge deal, is that Western Digital is buying SanDisk.
Yeah.
For $19 billion.
It's not as sexy as a new graphics card, but this is
quite
a bit bigger.
It's a combination of cash and stock.
Yeah.
I think...
Sounds like it was a pretty agreed upon deal, it wasn't a forced...
Yeah, it wasn't a forced takeover or anything like that. Pretty much an agreed upon deal. I'm not actually sure the reasoning. I mean, obviously... There is some reason. I mean, SanDisk, as far as in the SSD market, is huge.
SanDisk in, anything solid memory-wise is pretty huge.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that SanDisk makes some of the best SSDs out there.
Yeah.
Some
of the fastest memory, too, for cameras and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. And Western Digital has kind of really stayed away from the SSD space.
I think that Western Digital is probably realizing we have a massive amount of money from all the years we've been in existence. But we're going to be outdated.
Yeah.
Because they are pretty exclusively spinning platters.
Yeah. They had a couple drives that were kind of hybrid drives and things like that. But
yeah.
They never really came out with it.
And hybrid drives never really took off.
Yeah. So I think this is a good thing for them. I think that it will expand their catalog as far as digital home. As like you said, the memory cards and all that kind of stuff, consumer-based products, it will give them even more. Because they do have their portable hard drives or their desktop hard drives, USB hard drives, are some of the most popular out there. They kind of rule that market, really.
Western Digital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
make the best platter devices, I would say.
Yeah, so they have that big market, and then... Now, they're going to have the SSD and the solid state and all of that. I think it's a good deal. I think
Are they integrating SanDisk and rebranding them Western Digital?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
It'll
be weird to not have SanDisk because they've been around probably just as long as Western Digital.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing with this is to get the solid state technology.
Oh yeah.
And so they don't have to do it themselves, and I think that the brand's already there with SanDisk, so I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know if they're gonna rebrand it. I would assume eventually they will.
But then they'd be competing with their own company if they just made their own devices in both brand names.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that. Although, when Toshiba bought
OCZ,
they left OCZ to do their own thing, and there is Toshiba and OCZ SSDs, but the Toshiba ones are more enterprise.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I think that I'm not sure what they'll do, to be honest. Who knows?
It'll be cool. I hope.
Yeah.
$19 billion, that's a decent amount.
That's a lot of money.
Sure is.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool to see. Be interesting to see how this plays out and what happens to both companies as far as products go and everything like that.
Yeah, hopefully we see some cool stuff come from it.
Yes, for sure. And we will close out news, which I always try to do, with a gaming article. And this one's pretty awesome. Last time we heard of Doom, the new new remake or whatever you want to call it of Doom. Mm-hmm. Was during E3, the gameplay trailer that we showed everybody. And now they released a multiplayer closed alpha gameplay. So this isn't actually from the actual story part of the game. This is obviously multiplayer, which a lot of people are excited for. How long is the video? A minute or something?
It's 5 or 6. Oh, it's 3.5, sorry.
Yeah, 3.5 minute video showing multiplayer gameplay, which is awesome. This game looks like a lot of fun.
Dude, it looks totally epic.
Yeah,
this actually looks like one of the coolest ones I've seen lately.
Yeah, so I'm when this game comes out, I'll probably get it.
Oh yeah, I don't want to say it because it feels like going against myself. But this looks cooler than Battlefield or the Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, because there's a lot of different mechanics in this. There's newer mechanics in this game, which are pretty cool. Which you definitely just check out the article. We'll obviously link to it in our show notes and check out the video. It's just awesome.
The video is really good, actually.
Yeah,
it's a really good intro, and it really lets you know what's going on over there.
Yeah, so very, very cool. Excited when this does come out. I'm not sure when the game comes out.
Closed alpha, give it another 6 months.
Yeah, probably next year at some point we'll see this game. But it's awesome that you know these days with the internet and social media and all this kind of stuff, we get to see the progress of these games a lot more than we did years ago. I think that's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
Because you'd hear of a game and you'd see it at E3. Years ago, and that's it. You wouldn't hear anything, you wouldn't know anything, and you'd be like, oh, okay, this is coming out in a year.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, with the internet and social media and everything, we get to see everything, and I think because of social media and because of everybody talking about these things, these companies are kind of forced to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
To get hype about their game, really. I like it, and I like to see the progress.
I love seeing behind the scenes.
Like, yeah.
Because, we don't get to do those jobs, so it's cool to see them.
Yeah, for sure. So that closes out our news. Good news week, I feel. Yeah. I feel a lot of good stuff.
Strong news week.
Yes. So we'll go on to the reviews that are coming up for next week. So I'll be taking a look at an SSD, the ADATA Premier SP550, which is kind of just their entry-level SSD in their Premier line. This uses TLC flash and an SMI controller.
Okay.
Not really much else, to say about it.
We'll see when you review it.
Yeah, it's they're entry level people who don't want to spend as much money on an SSD. This will still give you much better performance over a typical mechanical hard drive. So you have that, and then I'll be looking at some DDR4 Patriots Viper 4 series. I'll be looking at the 3400 megahertz kit.
That's fast,
which is very fast.
Yeah.
And this is an 8 gig kit, which I'm, it's 8 gigs, but
yeah.
Still, that's very, very, very fast kit. So I'll see if I'll even be able to push them even further.
Yeah.
Patriot isn't as known for their DDR4, but their Viper 4 series is pretty good. So
I've always liked their memory.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with their heatsink on this.
But. Yeah, I saw this at CES actually when they were first showing it for X99.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys could have done something a little bit better.
Yeah, I kind of thought that when I saw their whole product line in the room, I was like, you guys, you need to bring it back, because they used to have some of the most aggressive, coolest DIMMs out there.
Yeah, their Intel Extreme Masters were one of the coolest looking some of the coolest looking memory I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It had that really cool blue heatsink, and it was really awesome. And this is just, I don't know, I think it's a step back. These look like they're from, the 90s.
Yeah. They don't look very effective either.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll see how well they cool and everything like that. So.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine, but.
I'll be taking a look at that, and then finally I'll be taking a look at a gaming keyboard, and this is the new TT Sports Poseidon Z RGB. So this is their Poseidon Z keyboard, which we reviewed previously. This is the RGB version, so full RGB backlighting on the keys.
Looks cool.
You can do a lot of cool stuff. I'll be doing a video showing you all of the cool things you can do with the lighting, which is obviously a huge thing these days. That is what's coming up next week.
You got brown switches coming in yours?
Yes.
Cool.
Browns. Also, this is still Payday 2 Crime Fest is going on. I've been streaming that on twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We also, coming up next week, at least the unboxing will be up. We are working with Alienware, and we'll be doing Steam Machine. And we'll be doing a whole big thing. We're actually having a Steam Machine party, which will happen in November, which we'll be streaming, obviously. We'll be talking about that over the next coming weeks, but we'll be doing a big giveaway as well. We'll be giving away a Steam game code that unlocks every game that Valve has ever made.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
I'm not sure how we're going to give it away yet. I'm thinking I want to give it away on the live stream at somehow, and I might throw some other stuff in there with it. We have a lot of extra products laying around nice. That we previously reviewed that are just sitting here, so maybe we can give some other stuff away. So we'll definitely have that stuff coming up in the next coming weeks. Stay tuned for that. We'll be announcing everything as I kind of figure out how I'm going to do it, how we're going to do it. But we are having a Steam Machine party, which would be pretty cool. I'm sorry, Derek, that you can't come.
What?
Well, if you want to drive down.
It's only 6.5 hours.
If you really want to drive down, it is November 14th.
Nice.
It's Saturday, November 14th. I'm not sure when we're going to do it, during the day, at nighttime. Probably day into night. I already have some buddies coming over. And we'll be live streaming us playing a bunch of different games on there. It's nice. Pretty cool. And I think we're just have a little LAN party too, because we're gonna have all these. I have all these PCs set up here, anyways. So we'll be playing a bunch of different games. Yeah,
sounds like a good time.
Yeah, so we'll have that coming up. And I don't know if you did. You do anything cool this week?
Not really. Watch some movies, but nothing really worth mentioning. Don't watch Black Hat. Don't even rent it.
Yeah, you're all upset about that.
Dude, it was so bad. It was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why they can't make a good hacker movie. It's like not possible, apparently.
I'm trying to think of the best hacker movie that I saw.
You can't, because
The original Hackers.
The original Hackers?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, those movies are, like, good because they're kind of nostalgic, right?
What was the one with, Oh, I can't think of it. John Travolta?
Not sure.
That one was decent.
Any movie with John Travolta, though?
He was pretty good. He's pretty badass in it.
What is the internet thing? Swordfish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Swordfish, a hacker movie.
Yeah.
There's another one, too, that's like sort of like about Microsoft that came out. Like, this is like years ago, too. That one was pretty decent.
Okay.
But what's it called? Yeah, I've been sick all week, so I don't really do anything.
Yeah, you didn't do anything? You played some games.
Yeah, I've been playing Payday 2. They put the First World Bank, which is kind of like everybody's favorite heist. They put that map back in Payday 2 from Payday 1.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. So we were playing that last night and the night before.
I wish a lot of games would do that sort of thing.
Which is interesting is they said they weren't going to do it, and then they did. Yeah. I think it was kind of a. I think it was in the works as it was. Because that was everybody's favorite, and I think that they. I think a lot of games should do that, or like they should do it. You know, maybe like they'll. You know, every 6 months, like put one of these old, nostalgic things.
You could
back
even
in the
do
game.
Like a nostalgic map pack and like just re-release all the old maps that are remade.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
People would buy that.
Yeah, oh for sure. There was one, I forget which one it was in the original Payday, that you had to stealth to get like the big diamond, the diamond heist or something. Okay. I was like a pro at that. I played that for hours because you had to stealth it completely and get all the diamonds. And then if you got into the big vault and then you had to do everything perfectly without getting noticed. You could open another big vault, like a vault inside the vault that had the massive diamond. And it was like achievement and everything. And it was like, once you figured out how to do that, it was awesome,
Nice.
So yeah.
So you'd like to do that again?
Yeah, I'd like to do that again. But it's nice to have First World Bank back in Payday 2. I think Payday 2 is the game that I play the most often. So yeah. Cool. That is basically it for our podcast this week. As always, we will have our show notes page that has links to everything that we talked about. So if we're talking about something and you want to check it out, you can just click on it and go to the article or whatever we were talking about. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just type in Think Computers, all one word, and it will be there. Also on Android, and we do have a specific RSS feed just for the podcast, so you can go ahead and check that out. You can obviously go on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and let us know what you think about the podcast as well. We do this each week for you guys, so if you don't like it, or we're doing something wrong, or you hate Derek, or me,
or you hate Bob,
or you hate me, you can definitely let us know. But we'll be back in 1 week with more tech news and reviews and all that fun stuff. So until next week, catch you guys later.